start her up.
Choo choo.
Fellas.
So I love this. What?
Choo choo is all I had to say.
I mean, I agree. I love when Cartoon Network rolls around to doing whatever miniseries that they're gonna do.
Yep.
It seems to have, well, they don't do that many, really, it seems like. But whenever they do one, it does feel like it's a good little story that fits for whatever time of year. This does feel like another fall one. Or at least the end of summer.
Yeah. Definitely a fall. I got the same. I don't know what it is about it. Well, no, because they're in school. I was like, oh, maybe it does take place during that time. But they're like, actually, I was a little bit confused about that in the beginning. Because they were, like, getting out of school, but I was like, is it the last day of school?
Yeah, I think it was the last day of school.
Because she was like, okay, see you on Monday, or whatever. I'm pretty sure her friend said, I'll see you on Monday. But I was like, no, you won't, she's going to camp.
Yeah, but at the same time, what's really funny is she's just like, school's over, immediately goes to camp. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, exactly. A little timeline confusion there.
Yeah.
For me.
We'll get into that in a second. But yeah, I feel like this is definitely like one, because like you were saying, Over the Garden Wall is definitely one you watch around this time of the year, Halloween, yeah. November, like yeah. Rolling into that time period. And I feel like Infinity Train would definitely be one that you would want to watch in August.
Yeah.
Or like maybe even like once school's over, but it doesn't feel like a summer film. Summer series. This feels like August, we're about to go back to school type thing.
Yeah. I don't know. And it also was definitely like devoid of any real time. Sorry, my cat is making an enormous amount of noise in the background. I don't know if it's picking it up.
I did hear that, but I was like, I'm gonna just ignore that.
He's like, kush, 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 kush. I'm having to yell over her. Yeah, it was also kind of like devoid really of any time and space in general, because it was also snowing at one point. she's like fully walking in like a blizzard.
Yeah, that was very confusing. Like, I just remembered that. Like, maybe I was drawing at the same time as I was watching this. So there's some parts that I don't remember.
Did you rewatch it?
I did not. Because when I was about to do that, I was just like, no, I remember it well enough.
Yeah, I also didn't rewatch it. I feel like it kind of flew by. It was just like, I tried to take notes, and I have three notes here. It just flew right by.
Lightning speed. What's funny about this is I'm like, in comparison, is it comparison or comparison? Because I've been saying comparison in my own private company just for fun.
It is not comparison.
I know it's not, but I've been testing it out. Like, you know, like fetch. I've been testing it out to see how it sounds.
Nope.
So in comparison. So.
Stop trying to make comparison happen.
So in comparison to like Over the Garden Wall.
Yeah.
I feel like Over the Garden Wall is like a through line story, but it's kind of like a wayward journey back home type thing. Whereas Infinity Train feels more like not a straightforward story. How do I word this properly? Like a very enmeshed story. Like each episode felt like it was building on the last to get you to the end. Whereas Over the Garden Wall, there were like little things happening that would kind of deter them from their journey, but they would still kind of be on that journey. You know what I mean?
It feels more episodic.
Yeah. Well, it kind of feels more like a trek, how a travel back home would, a little bit more how a travel back home would be.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than...
I think the two are actually extremely similar structurally.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both like, okay, a lost kid trying to find their way out of a weird world. Each episode is... like presents like a challenge or a situation that they have to either work through or get out of, but then they're kind of learning more things about the like world that they've fallen into as they go. I just think Infinity Train was way more faster paced.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's just something about it that was just like boom, 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 boom. Correct me if I'm wrong. Over the Garden Wall has like 6 or 7 episodes that are 20 minutes long, right? And then Infinity Train, they're all 11 minutes, and there's like 10 episodes, I think.
I want to say Over the Garden Wall, like all of the episodes are like 11, 13 minutes, something like that.
Really? Maybe it really is just that much slower pace.
Yeah, it really is just, I feel like it really is just the pacing. Yeah, they're all like 11 minutes, except for episode 3, which is 9, apparently, I guess. But yeah, all of the episodes of Over the Garden Wall are 11 minutes.
They are.
Mm-hmm. So it's literally just the pacing.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, so I think that Infinity Train is just a lot, I don't know if a lot more happens. Yeah, I really think it's just the pacing. I think it's a more action-driven plot lines. There's just more, like, high stakes maybe happening. So yeah, I just feel like, I mean, I sat down to watch it. First of all, I have beef with the Cartoon Network site. Because I went to watch it, and they were like, okay, here it is. And I was like, great. And I clicked on it, and I was watching, like, the last episode or something. So then I tried to, like, I found the first episode. And then after the first episode, it started auto-playing, like, another random episode. It, like, skipped a whole episode. I had to go back. I was like, I've missed the whole episode. It was very odd. Anyway, I was mad about it, but, I got over it. That was my journey watching this.
I love the struggle of that. Because that just honestly reminds me of when, you remember when Nickelodeon, like, moved Legend of Korra from their, from the actual TV show to online, and like,
yeah,
the only way that you could watch it for a minute was, like, through their site.
Yep.
And I tried to watch it. Boy, that first episode after that, ooh, I had to, like, stop watching the show for, like, a few weeks because I was so upset by the player. I was just like, I can't. I just can't do it. And honestly, I think that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to get people to stop watching it. They were like, maybe we can get these fans to stop watching it. We can cancel this show.
Maybe we don't have to make them lesbians.
Well, joke's on you. They were anyway.
They were anyway. Love wins.
Love wins!
Love wins. That whole movement was really about Legend of Korra.
Firework by Katy Perry starts playing.
Yeah, that played at the finale of that series, right?
It should have. It honestly should have.
When they're, like, holding hands and they going up in that light beam. It's just playing Katy Perry. Someone edit that. I need that in my life.
Honestly, I might. I've gotten really into editing videos on my phone just for fun.
Oh my god, please. Please edit it. Please post it on our Instagram.
Oh yeah, I was just like, I can't post it on the Twitter. I damn near definitely don't do that anymore. I'm active on my own Twitter, but it's 2 a.m. Twitter. I'm trash with it. I'm so bad.
I just can't do Twitter. I just can't do it.
Well, the thing is, I feel like if I'm talking about television, I'm probably going to be talking about it on my main.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, I'm talking about something else random.
Yeah.
It's usually music related. I talk a lot about music. Anyway.
Are you a part of Stan Twitter? Is that, that's you?
I try not to be.
So that's a yes. Anyway. Anyway, my first note for Infinity Train, my first of 3 notes.
Okay.
Was this club has everything. Teenage lesbians, game design, divorce. Because that was really how they started off. I was like, okay, right off the bat, she's gay. Right off the bat, she's cool, she's into game design. Right off the bat, okay, fucking divorce.
I know, my favorite thing was the friend at the very beginning. She was just like, is it weird that your parents still talk? Because they're divorced, and I'm like, why would they not talk? It would be weirder if they didn't.
Because, you know, they're divorced.
I know, the way that was presented, it sounded so sinister. Like, I was like, is this 1950? Like,
I was like, damn.
And then she was just like, a lot of kids' parents are divorced, and I'm just like, yeah, that's not, I'm like, that's not a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, it was a very fresh divorce, right? Like, it had just happened.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm still just like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like this, for divorce to be as common as it is, for that to be like a plot point where they're just like, and then it really what it was is it the fact that it was a plot point that followed through the entire series. So they're like, your parents are divorced. They're like, it's not your fault. And she's just like, I know it's not my fault. And I'm just like, okay, but do you? Because you keep saying you know it's not your fault. But I feel like we keep reiterating this. It's like, it's not your fault. Your parents got divorced. It's like, yeah, it had nothing to do with you. Like,
Did you not find it compelling?
No. I've never found that to be a compelling storyline because, like, that's just like an annoying factor about people in general that bothers me, where they'll act like because their parents are, and I'm like, maybe it's because my parents have never been together in that aspect. I've always known them as like separate entities. So it's like weird for me to think of them together, honestly. But it's just, I always feel like these kids of divorce always try and like blame a lot of their problems or whatever on the fact that their parents got divorced. They're like, my life is so different and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how does their relationship status affect your life? I don't understand.
I'm also not a child of divorce, but I don't know. I thought it was an interesting. I was like, it almost felt like a plot point from like 2005, you
Yes,
know?
that's
Like,
what I was saying. I'm like, that's why I'm
you
like,
know?
what time period is this?
Yeah, it felt like almost an outdated plot point because that was something you saw a lot back then, where it was like not even less common. Like, you know, people were obviously still getting divorced, but it was less like talked about. It was less like widely just accepted. Like, I feel like now it's just kind of like, yep, like a lot of people get divorces. Like, that's just the way of the world. But I liked the way that they handled it, and I thought it was like, I thought her motives made sense, and you know,
Yeah.
I was like, this is realistic. Like, this is how a teenager was. She like, was she 14? Was she
13.
12? Yeah. Okay. I was like, this is how a person of her age would, you know, handle this emotionally. Yeah.
A budding young lesbian game designer.
A baby lesbian.
With her long ass ponytail.
Yeah.
That's how you know she's gay. It's the long ponytail. No, I'm just kidding.
it's the fact that she dressed like, what's her name, from Foster's Home from Imaginary Friends.
Frankie?
Yeah, she was dressed exactly like her.
That is true. I want to meet the creator and be like, hey, see, were you inspired by Frankie? But also, what's her name from Gravity Falls?
Oh, yes, also a lesbian. Great, let's just keep naming cartoon lesbians.
Popular cartoon lesbians, Pepper Ann.
These are all redheads, too. That can't be a coincidence.
I don't think it is a coincidence. I think someone has a very targeted opinion.
They're all modeled after Katharine Hepburn. She was gay!
Just laughs.
But yeah, I know. What did you think of Tulip overall as a main character, as a driving force?
I liked her. I thought she was a very good driving force. Like, everything that happened made sense. She honestly, most of the time, I feel like I'm annoyed by protagonists in general, which is why, honestly, I find it very hard to create a protagonist because I always get annoyed with them at some point. That's why I like ensemble casts because I get to switch back and forth. And honestly, usually the friends who have less stake in it are more fun to play with because
Yeah.
they, you know, it doesn't fall on them. So I usually use my protagonist just to drive the story that I want to tell forward while I use the rest of them to do all the other shit that I want to do. But anyway, that's just my personal writing style.
No, I think that something that happens a lot with like protagonists is they become like stock characters, because it's kind of like okay, they have to be the hero, so they have to have like certain qualities, but then they also can't be overly any which way, you know? Like they can't be any sort of big personality because they have to be the straight man because they're the main character, I guess. So they kind of become like and they have to be relatable too, I think, is what happens. It's funny, we were just talking about Twilight because this is like that's like a prime example of like what was her name? Bella was like supposed to be like an every girl, so it's like she was just bland as fuck. She was just boring as fuck. So, but I felt like Tulip was a really good one. You understood who she was, what her motivations were, what her drives were, why she was doing the things that she was doing in the way.
I agree.
I enjoyed her, and I think that as far as especially a young female protagonist, I thought that she was a very good one.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. 'Cause
Ouch.
I can't think of a lot of really. There aren't very many series that focus on a female protagonist, especially throughout. And it's basically just like her and these two random.
Like a kids series, you mean? Yeah.
And I mean, like, she. It's just like her and this corgi and one, like the robot, who honestly reminds me of the robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Thank you. I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, this is literally just Marvin. I think was his name, Marvin? Martin?
I honestly can't. It could be either of the two.
I think it was, yeah.
It's Marvin Martin.
It was it's definitely one of those.
But I think I feel like the creator did that on purpose and was kind of like almost trying to reintroduce that character to like a younger audience.
Oh
Because,
yeah, it definitely was like an homage.
yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you like the score of this? Because I immediately was thinking, I'm just like, oh my God, Stranger Things.
Yes, so the second note that I have was opening titles, Eat It, Stranger Things. Because it was like, wah, I was like, Finn Wolfhard? Are you in this?
And then I like the animation of like how they do the Infinity Train thing.
I loved it. I loved every second of it. I loved how 80s it was. I was like, yes, this is sci-fi. We're in it. It's happening.
I know, I love sci-fi. I
Yep.
love that they did a. I think that's what I really like so much about this is that this wasn't like a supernatural. I mean, it's a little bit supernatural just because it's kind of weird,
Well,
but.
it's otherworldly. I mean, I wouldn't really put it in the category of supernatural.
Yeah, it's just like weird. It's weird science. Yeah, it's just like bizarre science fiction where it's just like this thing that happens. And I get that,
Yeah,
and I
I mean,
really.
if there's a talking robot, it's science fiction.
Yeah. I just really liked it because there's honestly not a lot of that, especially in like children's animation.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't delve into sci-fi at all, really. I feel like anything that's kind of adjacent is just anime. Or, you know, well, that wasn't even, I was gonna say like the latter seasons of Korra, but that really wasn't science fiction. They were just becoming more industrialized.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's Voltron, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I guess that would be the only other one. Well, and She-Ra, because but that one's like magic and also sci-fi. It's weird.
Yeah, I think the 80s did that a lot more. Obviously, like the 80s was like fucking obsessed with sci-fi. So,
Yes.
but I think even like in children's television, like the 80s was way more on that genre.
And I think that may be why I'm so interested in sci-fi and fantasy is because of the shit I watched as a kid. It's like the whole fantasy stuff from kind of like the 90s slash 80s, and then all of the sci-fi crap from the 80s. Because they didn't do a lot of sci-fi stuff in the 90s, but you know, there were certain things. I mean, there was like The Faculty, but that was, you know, for teenagers. What was the name of that fucking kangaroo movie I watched when I was a kid?
Kangaroo Jack?
No, there's another kangaroo movie.
What other kangaroo?
It's like, No, it's called Warriors of Virtue. That's what it's called. How did I remember that? All right, Warriors of Virtue. Hold on.
Nope.
Okay,
not
it's
ringing a bell.
Wait, no, that's not right. I don't think it is. No, it is right. I was right. Okay, it's from 1987.
Uh-huh.
And they're like kangaroos.
What?
They're like from another world, but they're like kangaroos who like fight.
I have legitimately never heard of this.
Like, one of the kangaroo, like, you see this kangaroo?
What the fuck is that? That's so scary. Terrifying.
Yeah, there's like a whole group of them.
No, nope.
Like Power Rangers.
I don't like that. I don't like it.
Actually, it was more like Bionicle. Remember Bionicle?
Yes. I was gonna say, it looks like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, except with fucking kangaroos.
Basically, that's what it is. What's funny is this movie has a 4.7. And then I
okay, go off.
Oh, okay, this is the animated Street Fighter movie. I thought it was the, like, live-action Street Fighter movie, and I thought it had a 6 or a 7.3. And I was very confused. I was like, how does the Street Fighter movie have that high of a rating? Oh, no. The live-action Street Fighter has a 3.9.
Nice.
That sounds about right. Oh, I can watch it on Stars. Apparently it's on Stars. I knew having Stars for no reason was going to work out in my favor.
Someday I'll be able to watch Street Fighter
with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay, but do they have Mortal Kombat? Because that is the far superior film.
It is, but honestly, all I want to hear is the song. Like, you remember when we were watching that docu-essay during our one of the senior thesis screenings at our college.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so funny. Because we weren't even really paying attention. We were just like, what's going on? And we're like, I don't know, but the soundtrack slaps. And it was Mortal Kombat! I was ready to dance.
That song will make you want to fucking fight anybody. Anytime, anywhere.
It really does, and you know what?
They really got that right.
They really did. They snapped.
They did that. They so didn't do anything else, but they sure did that.
Okay, so back to LO Infinity Train. So there are a lot of things about this series that I want to know more about, like, specifically just... Alright, so I want to know where the fuck the train is. It's, like, on this track, just running around wherever, but I'm like, where is it? Is it in limbo? It seems like it's in limbo.
I don't think it's limbo. I think it's, like, cyberspace or, like, hyperspace or, like, you know, like, one of those, like, weird sci-fi concepts of, like,
purgatory.
Another dimension. Yeah.
Sci-fi purgatory.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so
the thing that was weird was those thingies, though, those cockroach sucker things.
Oh, the bugs that were following her in the beginning.
Yeah, the life sucker bugs.
Yeah. Well, I thought, so at first, I thought she was going into her own video game because,
oh, true.
or that whatever was happening was like a play off of her game that she designed or something, or that she was in the computer or something like that. Because I was like, oh, they're bugs, like a bug, mm-hmm. You know, computer bug.
Yeah. Oh, that would have made a lot of sense. You know, like, I guess you were, like, thinking it was kind of like a Wizard of Oz type of thing, where it's like she's being whisked off into her own subconscious, basically.
Yeah, which she kind of was, but it also then it turned out that the train was real, question mark?
The train is real, girl. The train is wholly real. You can die.
Okay, I have a major question about the world, because, yeah. Okay, at the end, spoilers, but at the end, when she's facing off against the conductor, who is, what does her name end up being, Rebecca, or something like that?
Something generic-y, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with Rebecca, even though I feel like that's not right. she goes into the conductor's room. right? Like the very front of the train.
The engine, yeah.
And there is, she's on a computer, Rebecca is on a computer, and then all we see this flash of like all these other faces that have numbers under them before we get to Tulip, where it's like her face and then the number 0, so you can see, oh yeah, she's reached 0. But then there's all these other people that are also on the computer that have all these different numbers, and I was like, wait a second, are there a bunch of other people on this train?
Yeah, I think there are supposed to be like tons of other people on that train.
Okay, what the fuck, why did we never run into any of them?
I guess they were just never on the same cars at the same time.
I was like, so that was like the moment I was just like, wait. I was like, whoa, go back. What the fuck? Like, I don't know. Everything else made perfect sense.
Well, what I think it is they're all still on their cars, but Tulip was going to different cars.
I guess so. She was the only one who ever went to any other cars.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I think it was just happenstance.
Hmm.
But I was literally just looking at that screenshot that you were talking about.
Yeah. Where,
like, all these other people, like, on the train. Yeah, this one.
Yes. Yeah, there's, like, all these other people. Look, that guy's number is only 10. He's pretty close.
Oh, yeah. It's some other girl. But there's some other girl here. His number is 341. Oh, this dude. 746. Well, he ain't getting off.
Sucks to be him.
Yeah. Stay in your seat.
Oh, can we talk about how that fucking thing, the scariest thing I've seen in a while? What were they calling it? The steward?
I guess the thing that was going around in the, doing all the weird stuff.
Yeah, the thing that was just like a face and then a bunch of like wires or
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, they were calling it the steward, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my god, that thing was fucking terrifying. I was like, no thank you.
Well, which one's scarier, the steward or the beast from Over the Garden Wall?
I want to say the steward. I know that seems like it's not right, but personally to me, I found it more terrifying. Also because the beast is like, they like tease it and you see it like for a minute and it's like lurking in the woods. But like that steward thing, like that just came right out and was like, I'll fucking kill you.
Get back in your seat.
Like on fucking sight. It was ready to murder.
Just blasting you. It didn't even like stop to like talk or anything. Just immediately would turn and start blasting.
Oh yeah. Nope. It was a killing machine.
I mean, my answer is the beast. I'm still very afraid of the beast.
Do you remember that pumpkin?
I do remember that beast pumpkin I had.
And it started to, like, rot, and it was all, like, oh, it was terrifying.
Yeah, but what was funny is it took forever to rot. We had that bitch for multiple months.
Yeah, well, I think it was inside, right?
Yes, and I think we disposed of it in our normal fashion, where we just throw it over a balcony.
Threw it out the window. Threw that bitch right out the window.
But, you know, it's biodegradable, so it really didn't do anything.
The fact that we have done that multiple times over several years of our lives.
Again, it's not littering because it's biodegradable.
Yeah, sure.
So if anything, it just pisses off some locals who are all like, man, you should throw that away the proper way. But I'm like, I'm composting.
What's the proper way? Like, in a garbage can?
Where it goes to a landfill? Yeah, that is irresponsible. That's not thinking of Mother Earth.
No. Anyway, yeah, that was a terrifying pumpkin. I honestly was like, for a second, I was like, wow, depending on the age range who's watching this, I mean, I don't know what their, like, targeted age range was, but I was like, this could be scary for, like, children.
Yeah, I think for their miniseries, it's, like, tweens.
Teens and tweens, yeah.
It has to be, because Wirt was, he was, like, 12 or 13. or
Yeah,
something.
he was definitely 13. He was like in his teens. Let's get a crossover going. I would love to see that.
Beatrice and Tulip.
Both redheads. Here we go.
Both redheads who will do whatever they feel like doing.
Yep, we love it. We love to see it.
Do you know what was weird, though, was the one episode that I found, like, very bizarre was the Chrome Car episode.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing, like, a parody of, Blade Runner, and I was like...
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I immediately got it. I was just like, oh, it's a Blade Runner reference, but at the same time, I was just like, wait, what are they doing? And they need, like, put on that fake skin-looking face. I'm like, this is so weird looking.
That was also terrifying. And I was like, that, like, I feel like may have gone over teens' heads. Like, the cop duo.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. This is a little bit... Like, this is obviously, like, playing on a genre that they may not understand.
This might be a little too highbrow.
Yeah, no, that I forgot about the skin suit thing.
That was so terrifying. And, like, I'm just thinking, of, like, imagine seeing that in real life where it's just, like, they're coming through the floor at you.
Yep.
And then... When they do, after they do that, they're like, if you take off the mask or whatever, they start to melt. And I'm like, oh, gross. It's just, it's a lot to take in.
It was a lot to take in. That was a cool, that might have been my favorite, like, concept car.
Mm.
I also liked the crossword. The crossword one was very cute. I liked the ones that we kind of saw for, like, a second.
Oh, yeah. Those were kind of funny. Those were, like, gag ones.
Yeah, the ducks.
Ducks.
In a room full of ducks. I think my favorite car was the cat car, the cat's car.
Oh, the one that was just, like, a big old room.
Yeah, just filled with her things. So I was like, I identify...
With the caravan car.
With this cat. She was like, it started shaking and things were falling. And she was like, my stuff! I was like, oh, it's me.
It's going to take me weeks to put that back. I don't have thumbs.
Yeah, I enjoyed her character a lot. The cat. Although, for like a minute, I thought when she was showing... Tulip the flashback of the conductor, I was like, wait, is that the cat? And then I was like, wait, is this Tulip's parents? And I was like, no. I was just like, I was trying too hard to connect the story of the conductor to Tulip's story or like to something we had already seen.
Mm.
And I like, so then when it turned out to just be, like, a random woman, I was like, wait, how does this relate? I was, like, too caught up in, like, it already being something we had been clued into.
Ah, you were too caught up with it being, like, a cyclical story of yeah. Everything just coming. I mean, that's fair, because it did kind of have that, like, Wizard of Oz vibe to it, where you thought, like, everything was, like, metaphorical and, like... meant something else specifically to her, but it's just like,
yeah,
no, she's just kind of like on this journey.
Yeah.
And like some of these things are like relative to her life where it's like, you should learn this lesson, but
right,
it's really just about learning the lesson and then getting your number to go down.
Yep. Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe the conductor is gonna be Tulip.
Tulip in the future. Yeah, that would be too sci-fi. Like if this were like an actual TV series, then I think that would have been what it was. But you know, because it's a mini series, they're like, no, let's do something else.
Yeah. No. I mean, I in general, like, it was a good reveal of like, oh no, it's just another human who got too caught up in her past and trying to recreate something that couldn't exist anymore, and et cetera, et cetera. And contrast to Tulip's storyline and final sort of emotional journey, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what was funny was when they like first started showing that flashback of the conductor, I thought immediately I was just like, oh, it's going to be the woman. And then it was, I was just like, I mean, it was obvious to me because that was the least likely person it would be. Because it was too obvious if it were going to be the guy because he was already, like, talking with a thing. I just kind of wanted to know how he died.
Yeah, me too. Again, I was too wrapped up in it somehow tying into something we'd already seen. That I was, like, not even paying attention to, like, what was happening in the storyline of them, like, their weird little love story. I was just like, but how does this already connect?
I didn't think it was going to be something like he was dead. I actually thought it was going to be, like, they got divorced. And then that person was, like, distraught about it.
It's going to be another divorce.
Yeah. I thought that's what they were going to do, and it was going to be cyclical that kind of way, where it's like, you know, that person wasn't happy, and you need to let go, and blah, 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 but it was, like, not that at all. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, this is the direction we're going.
He died.
And then homegirl could not deal. I'm like,
I mean, it happens, you know, your husband dies, you turn into a fucking psycho and put on a giant helmet and pretend to be a robot who is in charge of a magical train.
As one does.
Ladies, has this ever happened to you?
I mean, you could have just as easily listened to Let It Go. Made popular by Idina Menzel from the Frozen soundtrack.
You could have just had a glass of Chardonnay and cried about it.
I mean, there are plenty of rom-coms that are centered around that exact concept.
I was just talking about P.S. I Love You with somebody. She could have done that.
Yeah.
He could have left her a series of letters, and she could have gone to Ireland.
Exactly. Oh, I was like, what's the other movie I was thinking of with Ryan Reynolds? Definitely Maybe. I liked that one.
Nobody died in that one. What?
Well, yeah, that's true, but in general, I just like that.
I just like that movie. I just like little Abigail Breslin.
Oh, yeah, she was in that.
What the fuck happened to her, man? Is she okay?
I mean, yeah, she's in Zombieland, too.
Okay.
And then she was on Scream Queens before that.
All right, well, okay.
I mean, just she checking. Did do that Dirty Dancing Live disaster.
Just checking if she's okay, you know?
Yeah, well, honestly, we should have checked after that, because that was a disaster.
I did not see it.
Homegirl cannot dance. And I'm like, why did you guys do that?
Why was she in it then?
There are so many questions I have. So many. First off.
Many questions.
First off, what? Not why, but what?
And who, and when, and how.
I just want to know what they were thinking when they came up with. Anyway, I'm digress. I'm going very far off track. Anyway, let's get back on the train. Let's ride. So,
my other favorite was the turtles and their insane use of all the weird shit.
I really was. That was one of the episodes I wasn't paying attention to, really.
It was like the incomplete car, and 1-1 was trying to fix everything, and then the turtles were just like using it all.
Yeah.
So they were like, there was that like weird hole in the ground, and the male turtle was just like throwing the mail in there, and the mail was just getting scattered everywhere. They were like, no, we use that. I was like, this is insanely frustrating to watch, but also very amusing.
Yeah, I really empathize with 1-1, where he was just like, what are they doing? Like, none of this stuff
is not right.
None of this stuff is properly functional. They're like, we found a way to make it work, and it's like, not efficiently, though.
Not really. I mean, it seems like you guys are having a good time.
I know, that's why I found it funny where they were just like, the lesson is, they're happy with it. You don't have to understand their lives. And I'm just like, I mean, I guess, but if you're making our life harder than it has to be.
I feel like that was a metaphor for, like, colonization.
I guess.
When you're just, like, going into other countries and being like, you should do shit our way.
Yeah, I guess. But at
it obviously was not that.
The thing is, like, when you said that, I'm like, I could see that being what it could have been. But at the same time, I'm just like, I mean, sure, in certain cases, but when in that particular instance, they were literally doing the wrong thing.
But it just looked wrong from our perspective.
No, that's your house should have four walls. How do you keep rain
that's
out?
That's what it was all about, was perspective. Yeah, that was the one that frustrated me the most. I was like, okay, no, you should have a wall.
They're like, how else do you get, like, fresh air? It's just like, you go outside.
You walk outside your house.
You open your window? I don't know. Homes are for protection, not for having not four walls.
Too funny. But I mean, I feel like if it was any animal, it would be turtles, you know?
Yeah.
They're just so unassuming.
Nature's D student.
Aw. Little babies. I'm just thinking of real turtles. So cute.
Are you thinking of real turtles choking on straws?
Choking on straws?
I don't know. I think that's what they were trying to say, what was going on with straws. I really don't pay attention as to what they were saying. They're like, this is bad for the environment. And I'm like, well, almost everything's bad for the environment, but we don't really do anything.
Yep, that's a great take. Great take there.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Do you know how often I have to, like, hold on to garbage because I'm looking for a recycling bin, but I can't find one, so I'll take it home and put it in my own recycling?
That is so real. I don't trust. First of all, I have a, like, theory that recycling is a scam. Not a scam, but, like, I don't think that that recycling actually happens. I just think that the government tells us that it happens so that we, like, feel better about ourselves.
I don't like that theory.
You know what I mean? I have this theory. I get, like I'll, like, put my recycling out, and I'll think about it all the time. I'm like, they could just not recycle this and just be telling us that they're recycling it.
I mean, truthfully, I mean, they could say the same thing with our garbage. It's like, they say they're taking our garbage away, but are they taking it away? Or are they taking it to a plant so they can sort through it? Or are they building people out of it? I don't know.
They could be building people out of it.
I mean, I know it's going to a landfill because we have an issue with, you know, garbage currently. That's like an actual problem.
Yep.
But in other times, I don't know.
Anyway, tune in for our government conspiracy theories and global issues episode.
I mean, we can have a reprise of our conspiracies episode. Was that a conspiracies episode? I don't even remember.
Yeah, there was.
Was it? Because I feel like we just talked about aliens.
Yeah.
Are there other conspiracies?
We definitely talked about both of those things. It may have been the same episode. I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't either. Well, anyway.
We've done so many episodes at this point.
So, closing thoughts on Infinity Train.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed it. And I think that it was a really good series for children because it was, like, a very good lesson, but it wasn't hit you over the head with, like, emotional storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to see more characters like Tulip.
I agree.
I think that she was good, and just the fact that, like, she was into game design, I was like, that's fucking rad. Like, she wanted to go to this game design camp so bad.
I love that they gave her an aspiration that, you know, is definitely lacking female representation. Like, there aren't a lot of... I mean, that's not to say there aren't a lot of female coders, but I feel like per capita, there are less of them out there than there are of men.
Well, and it's certainly not, like, represented.
Yeah.
You know.
I really like this as well. I agree with you with the message and the character. I thought they were very good. They were very spot on. The only thing I didn't care for was the whole, like, divorce angle. But I think it's... I mean, it's important for kids to see that. I honestly, if I hadn't have just been watching, I watched something else recently before I had watched Infinity Train where it was dealing with some kids' parents getting divorced or something as well. So, like, it annoyed me because it seemed to have been, like, a common, like, a reoccurring thing.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, why is this coming up so frequently? Like, I didn't tell you that. But in High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what
our new favorite show.
It is. I love Glee. So
God.
He one of the characters, his parents are getting divorced or potentially could be getting divorced. And he's all like, he should be like fighting for her. And it's just like, what annoyed me was the dad was just like, oh, don't worry about it. It has nothing to do with you. And I'm just like, yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with him. So why is he being so pressed? It's just like, my parents aren't going to be together. I'm just like, okay, well, they're still alive. They could be dead.
I mean, yeah.
You're not living in a Hey Arnold situation where your parents are dead.
I'm also not a child of divorce. I am also, like you, a child of a single parent with another sort of detached parent. So I can't say, but I know divorce is a difficult situation to deal with, especially when you are a teenager because you're old enough to... First of all, you're a teenager, so, like, everything sucks.
And everything sucks!
So you're, like, emotionally aware of stuff in a way that you're not as a child or as an adult. So I think that, like, storyline, you know, plot lines will do that with where they'll just be like, it's divorce and they were a teenager. So it's like heightened. And I think it's just, as far as like Infinity Train, it was like, okay, it had to be something was going on in her life, but they obviously didn't want to make it something as serious as a death. So divorce
was the only alternative. And you know what? Fair.
Yeah. No, I think it's hard. It's a hard thing to deal with as a teenager.
I think it's a hard thing to deal with if, like, do you know what's even weirder? In instances where it'll be like people have watched their parents, like, argue repetitively and want them to get divorced because they're tired of them, like, just arguing all the time where it's clearly not working. Mm-hmm. That I like more than like the ones who literally see their parents fighting all the time. They're just like, I just want you guys to, like, stop fighting and, like, be together and stuff. And I'm just like, well, that's not gonna happen, obviously.
Remember when we watched what was that one soap opera we watched, and there was that one plot line where the dad was talking about how he was gonna get back with the mom, and the kids were like, do not do that. I was like, this is the funniest divorce plotline I've ever seen.
I know what you're talking about, but I do not recall what show it was.
It was the Bold and the Beautiful, maybe? Whatever the worst one was that we watched. It was, like, the really terrible one that neither of us liked, but there was that plotline.
I do remember that now. Oh! You know, quick update on that. Apparently, I think Days of Our Lives may be getting canceled.
What? After, like, 74 years?
After 10,000 years of being on the air.
That's crazy.
Yeah, all of their actors... I read that the other day on Twitter. It was, like, all of the actors had been, like, released from their contracts.
Oh.
And I'm just like, I guess that doesn't mean you can... That means gotta find a new job.
Oh, no, they're all retiring after that. Are you kidding me?
Well, the older ones, I'm sure, they're just like, oh, I have enough money, I can just...
That's it for me, folks. Walks into the void.
Can you imagine if you just got a contract last month? You're like, what am I going to do now?
Well, no, what I was going to say is I think that Infinity Train portrayed it really well, where they showed her memories where she was like, oh, this was such a good time. And then, like, it's, like, the real version of what happened, which was, like, not a good time.
Yeah.
And it's, like, yeah, that's how it is. You, like, you remember these things, especially if you're younger, like, you remember these things as being, like, yay. But then, like, the reality of it is actually something very different. So,
oh yeah, I love that. They really took the rose-colored lenses off with that. They're like, which honestly, that can just be applicable to any situation where you're all like, you'll reflect and you'll think like, oh, those times were so, like, often I'll think about like high school and I'll think about like, oh, it was so great back then. Not like, you know, doing actual high school, but the I didn't have any responsibilities and I still had money somehow. I loved that. I loved that aspect all day long.
Yeah, and then they showed the, like, version of her parents telling her they were getting a divorce, where it was all, like, crazy and evil, and there was, like, flames.
Divorce!
But, like, in reality, they were just like, hey, like, we gotta talk to you. How's it going? And so I think in that way it was like, it was portrayed very realistically, where it wasn't like she was like, oh, I want my parents back together, wah, wah. And she also wasn't like, you know, no, they suck. She was just kind of like caught in this sort of like, the reality is neither super good or super bad. Like, that was kind of, like, her lesson when it came to that. And I was like, okay, that's actually a really good thing to portray to kids, because when you're that age, you know, everything is probably heightened one way or the other, and the reality is not so. So, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
So, while I thought that the divorce being the plot line was kind of, like, contrite, I think that the way it played out was very good.
I agree.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about how she didn't have a reflection in the end?
Oh, yeah.
She was just like, they were like, okay, now it's like a few months later or a year later or whatever it was, the very last scene. And she's like, okay, time to go to game design camp. Okay, yay. Okay, thanks, Dad. You're going to drive me to game design camp. And they just walk past the mirror and she just has no reflection. And I was like, wait. So all that on the train was legit. Like, that was legit. That happened. Okay.
Yes, great. So, it's real.
Okay, but I was like, think about it. She has to deal with the fact that she doesn't have a reflection for the rest of her life. She has to explain that to people.
She has to explain that she's not a vampire.
I know. I was just like, wait. No, what? But anyway.
Yeah. Was it worth it, Tulip? Was it worth it to let your little reflection run around and do whatever the hell she wants to do?
That was so funny. I also enjoyed that particular plotline of her reflection breaking free and having her own life, because when I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend who was my reflection, who was my twin sister, and and her name was Trace.
All I have to say is, Are you about to say you tried to reenact Parent Trap?
No, she was just my my mirror friend. And she was like way sassier than me. Like, she was like a really rude version of me.
Rude? Yeah. Rude? A rude Grace?
Yeah, yeah, I was the nice one. I was the good twin. She was the bad twin.
I shudder to think what she would have been like.
It was just me projecting all of my terrible qualities.
Your worst behaviors.
Yep, and then I was like, oh, it's my twin sister.
Me when I'm 80 and have dementia. Not have dementia, fakes dementia. It wasn't me!
Fakes dementia.
Literally takes a shit in the middle of Target. It wasn't me!
Dementia! I'm about to fake dementia now, like, at 26 years old. Like, that's the point on that.
And that's on Grey's Anatomy, love.
That is real.
So, anyway.
Oh, boy.
What should be our next episode? What should we do next?
Yeet.
I was about to say, I'm like, what are you doing? For a second, I really thought you were just going to go yeet. And I'm like, What?
No, You Are the Worst is in the
It's finally in the works. We're gonna
it's in
do
the
it.
works, and that's for real this time. It's really the works. Hulu really put it up.
Yeah, so
It's
we can
out
finally
there.
stop complaining about that.
It's out there.
Oh, also, did I tell you about that? Apparently, Hulu, I think all of Hulu's shows that are going on to, not Hulu, all of FX's shows are going on to Hulu now.
Yeah, I thought that was always.
Yeah, but I think now it's supposed to be more like immediate, not like how long it takes them now.
Okay, so it's gonna be more like when NBC uploads their stuff.
I think. Well, because you know Disney owns Hulu, and they also own all of Fox now, so I'm sure they're trying to figure out how to work that one. Also, apparently, FX is producing like four new shows for Hulu specifically.
Okay.
I mean,
That'll.
Hulu is kind of lacking in its original content.
Yes, they did that terrible Four Weddings and a Funeral, whatever.
I didn't even watch the whole thing. I only watched like 9 minutes of the first episode.
I didn't watch any of it. I was like, I'm not participating in this. I'm sorry, Mindy Kaling. I love you so much, but
I just cannot support you on this endeavor.
I can't do it.
That's hilarious.
What should we do next? I don't know. I finally watched season two of Sabrina, so we can talk about that.
Oh, have we not talked about that yet?
No, I hadn't watched it yet. We've talked about Sabrina. We've talked about when season one was out, but I hadn't watched season two for a while. But I
Well, maybe I'll rewatch it this weekend. I
watched
have been my mom's been wanting to watch it because we watched the first season together, and
it.
I watched the second season when it came out. Like I told her I was going to, which I did with the first season.
I would love to hear your mom's thoughts.
Honestly, I would as well because I couldn't tell you. She enjoys the show, but I couldn't tell you any specifics that she would say.
I definitely have some thoughts about season two.
Oh, I can't wait to do that. Okay, well, great. We'll do season two of Sabrina.
We'll just, it's gonna be spooky November, y'all.
Sure, there's some witch holiday coming up in November. We're coming up on the winter solstice, aren't we?
The winter solstice is December 22nd, I believe.
Oh, great. I wonder if we'll get another Christmas episode this year. I don't think so, but that would be fun.
Oh, the Sabrina episode.
Yeah. Wait,
That was
what
a fun
happened with
one.
the I was about to say, what happened with the You know what? I'll figure it out when I rewatch the second season. I really just want to rewatch it in 4K.
True.
That's really all it is. I think that's really what I want for Christmas this year. I want a fucking 4K TV. Like mine is fine, but I'm like I want a 4K one.
I would like some mental stability.
And you know what? That comes in the form of Prozac or Zoloft or whatever the else they call those antidepressants these days.
I am poor. So let's see. Are there any Wiccan holidays in November? I don't think so. I'm Googling it. Winter solstice, I think, is the. Fall equinox. Yeah, you have the fall equinox, and then you have Samhain, which is Halloween, and then you have the winter solstice. Anyway, that's your Wiccan lesson for the day.
Whee! Well, join us next time where we'll be celebrating one of those holidays and
Absolutely.
talking about Sabrina.
Yep.
As always, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye!
Bye.